Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. And we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. The world is very intrigued and also confused about angels and demons. Do they exist? What do they do? What are they involved in? Where did they come from? God reveals the answers to these questions in the pages of the Bible. You'll see many TV shows and movies and all sorts of media that do address the topic of the angelic realm, the spirit realm, and demons. But they're very confused on it, and it puts a lot of strange ideas into people's heads. And yet it is a very real realm. The spirit world does exist. The Bible reveals that it does, and the Bible also reveals where angels and demons came from and what they're doing today. We're going to look at a few passages to make this clear, so if you have a Bible with you, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these scriptures together and see what God's Word reveals. So where did angels come from? Well, let's look over at John 1. We'll start there in John 1, even though, of course, this is in the New Testament. It actually is the earliest time period that the Bible talks about. John 1. It says, in the beginning, starting in verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So in the very beginning, we see there was God and the Word. Now, God became God the Father when the Word became Jesus Christ. They loved each other. The Word obeyed God completely. They worked in perfect cooperation, perfect unity, perfect harmony. And they've always existed that way. It's hard for our human minds to even sort of grasp that. We have a hard time with it because we're used to a very small amount of time, our lives and the lives of the society that we know, and man's history and civilization. It's a small amount of time, but here you have God and the Word always existing. And existing with perfect harmony and perfect unity. This is the beginning point that the Bible takes us to. And so this is the very beginning. And God and the Word were creators. That was their occupation. They made things. They worked together, have this incredible mind power and ability to make what we see about us, their creation. Just amazing power to do those things. And they created angels, spirit beings, on a lower plane than God. And they were made to help God and the Word in their creative work. So you have God and the Word here, and then they made the spirit realm. They made the angels. And again, they were on a lower plane than God. They're not as powerful as God or Christ, but they certainly have more power than human beings do. Notice this quote from Mystery of the Ages, and this is what Herbert W. Armstrong wrote, and this book is tremendous. It unlocks the Bible. It's free, and it's at thetrumpet.com, and I sure hope that you'd get it there. It's free to request and to have sent to you or read it online. But Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, he says, angels were created to be ministers, agents, helpers in God's creation. They were created as servants of the living God. Angels were created with life inherent. In other words, they cannot die. They don't die. They don't need the physical things that we need to live. They don't need air, water, food. You know, time doesn't affect them. They don't age. So they were made different. They were made a spirit with life inherent. The Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, which again is free at the Trumpet, please sign up for that and take that course. It says two of them, with the rank of cherub, these are two angels now, were trained at the headquarters of God in heaven and spread their wings over God's very throne. One of those two was Lucifer. Now, you've probably heard of that, that spirit being, Lucifer. And he was trained in the administration of God's government. He was one of the covering cherubs. And he covered God's throne with his wings. Let's look at a passage in Ezekiel 28. And this talks about that early history with Lucifer. And it was great history in the beginning. Ezekiel 28 and verse 14. It says, "You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." So here's imagery that we're familiar with through the pages of the Bible, but this is something we've never seen. And this is God's throne room. Here, Lucifer is the anointed cherub, and God made him that way. He was upon the holy mountain of God, and he was there observing God's government for a long time. We don't know how long, but a long time. He was thoroughly trained and had great power. Not as much power as God, but great power as far as angels are concerned. Now, later the Word created the earth and the universe. We read of this original creation of the earth in Genesis 1 and verse 1. You know, God created all things through the Word. The angels, they were already alive at this time, because when they saw the physical creation, they were just absolutely thrilled about it. They're absolutely thrilled. We can see this in Job verse 38. Job 38, this gives us time periods here. We are beginning to see, okay, so God and the Word, and then they created the angelic realm, and then they created the earth. So we're getting the time period set in our minds. Job 38, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Where were you," God talking to Job here, "where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" And just to pause there for a moment, those are really great questions. We see a lot of people today that are in the certain scientific communities, as they would call it, and are pretty bold in some of the things that they say. And they say that, they can tell when the Earth showed up, and of course they have their theories about that. And they start talking about things that happened billions of years ago. And these questions really are questions that we should all consider if we think we know a whole lot about what happened. Do we know where the cornerstone of the earth is laid? Do we know where the foundations are fastened? Do we know who stretched the line upon it? Were we there when the foundations of the earth were laid? I mean, God's asking us some questions just to give us some perspective here. Now, we're talking to Job, of course, in this passage, but I mean, we can all look at this and say, okay, do I know as much as I think I know? Or do, say, people that are supposedly experts, do they know as much as they say they know? Well, if they're not going back to the Word of God, how do they know? Were they there when the foundations of the earth was laid? How do they know? It's something to consider. Continuing on with this history, though, verse 7 says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." You know, he's saying, Job, were you there when I created the earth and all the angels shouted for joy at that creation? Were you there? Well, of course, none of us were, because that was before man was created. But this gives us a time period here, the angelic realm created by God and the Word, and then the earth and the universe created, the material universe that we observe about us. Now, the angels were thrilled. They were thrilled, as it says, to have an amazing project to work on and help govern with God's government. I mean, that's what they were going to be able to do. And as a side point here, it's interesting to note that the angels are referred to as sons of God, but that's in the sense that God created them. They never had the potential to be born into the family of God like man has today. So that's just an important point to make when we read sons of God. God created the angels, so in that sense, you know, they are his sons, but they do not have that God family potential that man has. The correspondence course says, "Over the earth, God set his government. He placed under him angels, apparently a third of them," and you can see that in Revelation 12 and verse 4, "on our planet to improve, beautify, and complete the creation." Now remember, God's law and government produces improvement, beauty, and growth. So if you see those fruits, that's a great indication that God's government is involved. But sin brings destruction. It brings destruction. And so the angels had a challenge to implement the government of God. The government and law of God was to regulate the angels' behavior toward their creator and each other, which is really fascinating to think about. That was their challenge. Here's this earth. Lucifer, go down there and rule this earth with about a third of the angels and see if you can implement God's government. And that government not only regulates the physical creation in terms of like keeping the earth beautiful and improving it, but even the angels' relationship with each other, that they would cooperate, that they would get along, that they would obey God. And God preserves what he creates by his government. That's why God's government is so important in our lives today. God created each of us. And if we want to have a successful physical life in preparation for the wonderful eternal life that God's offering us in his kingdom and family, we must joyfully submit to God's government. That's what we're preparing for. We are preparing to be in the family of God and to have success in this life leading into that wonderful and abundant eternal life. God's government must be followed. Now, God's way of life is outflowing love, cooperation, and its outgoing concern for the good of the governed. And so this is important to talk about, God's government, because it has everything to do with the angels and the demons. Now, it's one of the covering cherubs. Lucifer, as we mentioned earlier, he was trained in the administration of God's government and given authority over one-third of the angels on the earth. So Lucifer had a lot of responsibility, and he had great training and great ability for this job. The question was, could Lucifer successfully administer the government of God on this earth? He had a real challenge in front of him. It was a great test. It was a great opportunity for him. How would he do? And how would you do? How would I do if we were given that type of authority? Could we administer the government of God? It's worth considering. I mean, we have probably little empires today, I suppose. Certainly our own lives, our families. We have things that we're have some authority over. How do we do with it? Well, successfully administering the government of God requires obeying the law of God. God's government cannot work without God's law. They go together. Let's notice Romans 13 and verse 10. Just a point here about God's law. Romans 13 and verse 10, it says, "Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." No ill to his neighbor. How much ill do we see people working toward each other today? Do you see people working ill toward their neighbor in this society? Unfortunately, we do. We see a fair bit of that. And we see a lot of it. Yet people try to justify it, and they say, well, yeah, I mean, I did this, you know, bad deed or had this bad thought towards that other person, but I have good reason to. They deserve it, you know. They have a bad attitude or, you know, there's a reason, whatever a person may say. But it's breaking God's law to work ill towards our neighbor. So we have to really think about that. The correspondence course said the love of God is outflowing toward others. God is concerned about the good and welfare of others. God's love is the attitude of cooperation, sharing, serving, helping. It is a way of give instead of get. And so those are some interesting things to think about. Cooperation, sharing, serving, helping, giving. Those are the principles at play in God's law. The love God and the Word have for each other is the attitude motivating everything the God family does. It is their way of life. They have this beautiful way of life, and they still have it, and they want to share that. And so they wanted to see if the angels could follow that pattern of living and follow that government. Notice John 10. John 10 in verse 29 and 30. It says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30 says, "I and my Father are one." This is Christ talking when he was on this earth. That's the type of love they have for each other. "I and my Father are one." So they were trying to extend this way of life out to angels that they created. Could they live this way? Could they be unified with God? Could they cooperate? Could they have a give way of life? Well, initially, all of the angels followed God's law and government. They did that, and they probably did it for many, many, many years, as we would count time. We don't know how long. They had the opportunity to spread that wonderful way of life to this earth before mankind was here. And then, of course, throughout the universe, there was this entire beautiful physical creation that they shouted for joy when they saw come into existence. So how long did Lucifer successfully administer God's government? We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is that eventually Lucifer sinned and he became Satan. Notice this in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Lucifer sinned, became Satan, and a third of the angels followed him in that sin. Now, Mystery of the Ages, talking about this passage, says the words "cast down to hell" in the above verse is an English expression translated from the Greek Tartaru, from Tartaros, found in no other Bible passage. So this is a unique expression here. Tartaros means a place or condition of restraint. And the correspondence course says sin is the transgression of God's law of love, the way of peace, cooperation, and harmony, the way of giving as opposed to the way of getting. Lucifer allowed thoughts of vanity, jealousy, envy, lust, and greed, and then resentment and rebellion to enter and occupy his mind. He turned to the way of get. He reasoned that self-centered competition would be better than cooperation. He thought there was a better way. He had a better way than God's law. The quote continues, "It would be an incentive," he thought, "to excel," that is competition, "to try harder to accomplish. There would be more pleasure in serving self and more enjoyment." Does any of that sound familiar? Do we see that in the world today? Well, we see it everywhere, don't we? The quote continues and says, "So Lucifer rebelled against God and rejected his law of love, the way of give. And thus the government of God ceased to be administered on earth." It ceased to be administered on earth. Now, it's an interesting point to think about here, how the thoughts about the self and thoughts of hatred towards others, they really go hand in hand. Satan's thinking is that everyone else is an adversary, an opponent. Because he's competing with everybody, he looks at everybody as a competitor against him. That self-centered thinking made everybody else seem to be a competitor in his mind. The quote continues here and says, "Lucifer eventually organized the angels on earth into an army and ascended to heaven in an attempt to take rulership of the universe away from God." You know, here they were given an opportunity to have some rulership, and they said, "Well, that's not enough. We're going to take it." Well, they're not stronger than God, but they tried to take rulership of the universe away from God. It says, "But they were repelled and cast back to earth. As a result, the earth became without form and void," as it says in Genesis 1 and verse 2. It became darkened, a ruined planet. And so, in rebelling against God's law, turning away from the give way of life to this self-centered get way of life, Lucifer, who was created as a covering cherub, became Satan. And the sinning angels became demons. And they are still on this earth today. As a matter of fact, they're confined to this earth at this time. Satan is still the god of this world. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He deceives the whole world, as it says in Revelation. I mean, he is still the god of this world. People don't see him. We don't see him. But we see the results of his way of life, don't we? The competition, the greed, the lust, the self-centeredness. And he has demons that are also causing problems on this earth as well. Again, we don't see them, but we see the results of the attitude that they have, the rebellion against God's way of give. We see get on this earth. do you see agitation in the politics of this world? You can almost pick any region of the earth and you see all sorts of frustration and agitation and anger. You certainly see it here in the United States. You know, man fighting his brother, people just being upset with each other on a personal level, on a national level, on a global level, man against man, race against race, nation against nation. Who's behind that? Where does that come from? Why so much hatred? Why such a lack of cooperation? Well, it comes from Satan the devil and his demons. And as we've seen by looking at some of these scriptures, Satan and the demons come from rebellion against God's law. God created them as righteous angels, and they rebelled and they sinned. And when they sinned, they ruined the earth. And so when you read Genesis 1 and verse 2, you begin to see that God had to recreate the earth. There was a recreation that had to be made. And then, of course, man enters the picture. So don't be confused and don't be deceived about Satan and the demons and the righteous angels as well. Again, there's all sorts of movies and TV shows and ideas about them. But the Bible's very clear on where they've come from. God created them. And yet Lucifer rebelled and became Satan. And a third of the angels under him rebelled and became demons. And they're very active in the world today, causing agitation, grief, and strife, and violence, and lots of death. And so don't be ignorant. We can't be ignorant about the devices of Satan and the way he works and where he came from. But the good news is, in all of this, God does have a plan to restore his government to this earth. God's far more powerful than Satan is, and he has a plan. And Satan's rule will not last very much longer on this earth. God has a plan to solve this, and he's going to do it. Now, as man, as a human being, we face the same earth test today. You remember how Lucifer was put on this earth and he was tested to see if he could administer the government of God. Well, we're being tested today. Those that are being called and those that have their minds open to God's truth and have the power of God's Spirit, we're being tested today. Can we administer the government of God in our lives? Can we follow the government of God? What will we do with our lives? How will we do on this earth test? Will we obey God's laws and government, or will we rebel like Satan did? Now, we have all the power that we need to be successful, relying on God and using the power of his Spirit. If we're called today, then we have all the power that we need to pass the earth test with flying colors. And that's the same test that every human being is going to face in their season. Can we administer the government of God? We have an example of a terrible failure in Lucifer, that became Satan and the demons. But we have a wonderful example of success in Jesus Christ and how he perfectly followed God's law and government on this earth when he was a human. And so we need to follow that perfect example. That's some of the history of where the angels and demons came from. It's very fascinating to look at, and it's revealed in God's word. If you want more information on this, please get Mystery of the Ages. That's free at thetrumpet.com. There's a whole chapter specifically on that topic, and it's covered very thoroughly in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. Please get that as well. Both are free, and they're at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk, and until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.